On behalf of the Professional Baseball Strength and Conditioning Coaches Society, I'd like to welcome you to the PBSCCS podcast. I'm your host, Chris Messina. All right, everybody, I'm here with Eric Ortego of the Cleveland Indians organization. Eric, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate your time. Tell the listeners about yourself, if you would, please.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. Like Chris said, I am a strength and conditioning coach within the minor league system. I'm currently, right now, for the last two seasons, this is my third year, but for the last two seasons, I've been with our high A club in Lynchburg, Virginia, the Lynchburg Hillcats in the Carolina League. I just completed my third season, like I said.
And so tell me about your journey to this role. Is there anything between school and baseball that kind of got you in, or did you go right from school to baseball?
Yeah, so I started off in college. I went to a junior college where I played baseball. That was LSU at Eunice, obviously a small school in South Louisiana. And we didn't have a strength coach. So while I was there, our position coaches, our pitching coach, as well as our hitting coach, were our strength and conditioning coaches. And I thought they did a good job. They got us really big and strong. And it was a very basic program, but it was something that I think they came up with together. Once I transferred out, I went to the University of Louisiana at Lafayette. I just kept thinking about how I enjoyed the process of preparing physically for baseball more than I actually enjoyed, I think, the act of playing baseball itself. So towards the end of my college career there, I saw something where they were showing our strength and conditioning coach and kind of highlighting him and letting him talk about his job similar to what I'm doing right now. And it struck a lot of interest. So I wanted to work for him. I didn't know exactly how to go about doing it. So I didn't call him, I didn't email him. I just said one day I got up the nerve and I just walked into his office. I asked if he was there, and it was right before the spring semester of my last semester of undergrad, and I walked in there, and his name was Coach Rusty Witt, and I walked in there, and I think I kind of took him by surprise, and I asked him if I could work on his staff. It's as simple as that, and he kind of looked at me, shrugged his shoulders, and he's like, you know, I don't have any paid opportunities for you. And I told him I wasn't looking for that. And he said, sure. Yeah. Come to our staff meeting. And it was like the next day at 1:30 or something. So that's when it started. He gave me the opportunity not only to work with his football program, but also to work with the baseball program there. Stay there for a couple more months. Then I graduated. Once I graduated, I went to graduate school, not having a graduate assistantship or anything. I went to the University of Louisiana at Monroe. After a couple of months of just sitting there and going to school, I couldn't stop thinking about strength and conditioning and how I wanted to explore that a little bit more. So I emailed two of the coaches there, the head strength coach, Joe Girardi, and the assistant director over there, who was Brett Huth at the time. And they gave me an opportunity to come in. And I worked as an intern for a little bit, and then I transformed into a graduate assistant role. And I worked there until the end of my tenure in 2013. And then I wasn't even looking. I wasn't looking for a job. And someone called me about a job at McNeese State University, which is a smaller Division I school in South Louisiana, and struck up a lot of interest. And I went there, and I fell in love with the school as soon as I got there. Said, man, this is the spot. So I went there. I was hired. Went there for 3 years, and then I got a job with the Cleveland Indians. And like I said, I just completed my third season there, and it's been nothing but good experiences so far.
Yeah, a couple of things strike me in that one. First, the thought of liking to prepare more than actually playing just sticks with me so much. I used to love just the training, and even like practice was good for me. And then I'd get to the game and I was like, this isn't doing it for me, but find me in the gym and I'm So that rings with me, and I think it probably rings with a few other strength coaches. That's just why we got in, because we love the physical aspect of it. And then the other thing is just paying your dues, man. Like you walk right into the coach's office and say, hey, I want to work for you. I don't have the experience, but I'm willing to learn. And that goes a long, long way. And I'm kind of in the same boat. My first time in strength and conditioning, I didn't know what I was doing. The coach just threw me in the fire and was like, here you go, learn on your own. And that's a good experience for you to kind of figure out, okay, I really do want to do this, or I really don't. It sounds like you really did want to do it right from the start.
Yeah, that was a crazy experience, me walking into his office. I'm not sure if he liked that or he didn't, but that was the only way. That was the most respectful way I thought I could have gone about doing it.
Yeah, man, I think he liked it. if he brought you on, I think he liked it. So what is your best professional baseball story, whether it's something that got lost in translation early or a success story that you've seen? Just what's your favorite memory from baseball so far?
Yeah, so, I mean, I have a couple of them, but I'm going to tell one specifically. First of all, I love seeing whenever our guys get called up to the big leagues, obviously. We've had probably a handful of guys, even in the short amount of time I've been here, that have gotten called up and are still on the big league team. But one that kind of really stands out to me, it's got nothing to do with strength and conditioning. It's just kind of funny. And you kind of have to know the guy. I'm going to try not to say his name, but I might. We were both in our first year with the organization, and he was a young left-handed pitcher, and it was towards the end of the year. This was in 2017. So we were in low A, and like I said, towards the end of the year, we're playing at West Michigan. I mean, they're just beating the ball all over the yard. I mean, they were really good. They won like 100 games that year, and we came close to losing 100. So he's pitching, and it's in the third inning, and I mean, balls are just going everywhere. No one's catching it. Every ball's in a power alley or over the wall. And I see him every time he comes to back up third base, he's looking in the dugout, like staring intently in the dugout. I guess he was looking at our manager and our pitching coach. So he comes out of the game. We're losing like 10-3. We go up to the clubhouse. I walk up there with him. And he's just like shaking his head. And he's like, he's like, man, they were hitting everything today. I said, yeah, I saw that. Why'd you keep looking into the dugout? He's like, he stopped for a second. He kind of put his head down and he started laughing like this. And he said, he said, it's the third inning. They got 10 runs. Come get me out of the game. So I'm guessing that he wanted to come out of the game because, I mean, balls are going everywhere. It was crazy.
Yeah.
The guys that know him, they know exactly how he said it. And it was pretty funny.
Yeah, that's hilarious, man. It's especially at those younger levels, some of those guys sometimes they get a little lost on the mound, and then even if it's like balls that are just falling in and guys just aren't catching it and it's just placed right and they're just throwing their hands up, it's like, what's going on? I can't get him right out. And the manager's like, no, keep going, man.
Yeah. He's like, he's got to get out of this. He's got to. Yeah.
You got to love it at those lower levels, man. Sometimes guys just got to wear it.
Oh, he wore it all right, I tell you.
So what do you believe in within strength and conditioning that others think you are crazy for believing?
Yeah, and I don't necessarily think that they would think I'm crazy for this, but this is just something, especially it kind of rings a bell with professional baseball. You know, everything in professional baseball is or it's starting to get more individualized. They've got individualized strength and conditioning programs to a certain extent, individualized pitching, hitting, mental performance, all kind of stuff. But things that I really think that continue to be important is organization, discipline, and last but not least, teamwork. I think our organization, I can only speak for us, but they do a great job of all those things. From an organizational standpoint, as a coach, you've got to lay out your expectations. If you never lay out your expectations to the players, you're going to get a ton of different things, like, but if you tell them exactly how you want things done, I think it kind of sets the standard of how you want them to act in your room or just around you in general. The second thing, like I said, being disciplined. I think everyone knows that there's a right way and a wrong way to do things. And if you know the right way and the wrong way, why would you ever do the wrong way? So that's just my small little take on the discipline aspect. And then teamwork. Everyone should help everybody. I think our organization does a great job. They put team on almost everything that we talk about. You know, you're going to have guys, let's take the pitching staff, for example. Certain guys are going to be good at certain different things. So essentially, you could have 5 or 6 different leaders on that pitching staff to help out the rest of the guys. Younger guys, less developed guys, or guys that just don't have the skills that maybe another guy has. So I think it's good if everyone's supposed to help everybody out and they do that, we could have a bunch of leaders on our team and we could have great experiences moving forward with that.
Yeah, man, that's actually really awesome. I'm a believer in discipline, consistency, and work ethic myself. So those make sense to me. And then, like you said, if you lay out the expectations early on, you're not backtracking. Because if you just go in and like, all right, you guys can do what you want, and then you're like, ah, no, wait, you can't do that. It's like, well, you never told us you can't do that. If you put the standard at the beginning, then you can kind of provide some wiggle room where you need to when guys have earned that. But I'm a big believer in that. Lay out your expectations early. Let them know this is what I expect. This is what we're going to do. And these are the consequences of not doing it. So I'm there with you 100%.
Yeah, certainly.
So what makes a strength and conditioning coach successful in your mind? Maybe in general and then more specifically in professional baseball.
Yeah, I guess I'll talk about it in general first. First of all, I'm still trying to learn how to be successful myself, but let's not skip over the obvious. You've got to work hard and want to get your hands dirty. I could remember early on when I first accepted a full-time job, and I would do speed sessions with the whole team. I mean, I'd be out there sometimes at 4:30 in the morning. I didn't have any interns. I didn't necessarily want any either, but I didn't have any. So I was setting up everything. It was all the sleds, all the weight that goes on the sleds, as well as the harnesses and stuff. I mean, that's something you definitely cannot be lazy about those things. That would probably be the first thing. I believe it's important to have an open mindset, or as we call it now, a growth mindset, so that you never know everything. And if I would go back over some of the stuff that I was doing as a young coach compared to what I know or what I do now, man, I'd be kicking myself in the foot a lot, because I was probably doing some stuff that wasn't great. But it's also, I think, important to get other people's opinion, other coaches, whether it be other strength coaches, other sport coaches, but also to develop a great relationship with your players, so that they could open up to you and let you know how they're feeling, where you could push and where you need to pull back. I think it's important. We try to put ourselves in their shoes a lot, but I think realistically, we're going to miss it sometimes. You know, we're going to think that they're feeling great and we're going to push a little too hard, and it might cost us a little bit. So I think it's important to develop a good relationship with those guys or those girls, whoever you're working with, and see how they're feeling, find out what we could all do better. Not only from our side, but from the sports side as well. That kind of bleeds into my next thing. I think it's important to have a personality that allows you to have a good time with your players. There should be certain times where you're very authoritative in the weight room and things have to go a certain way, but then there's got to be times where you can lighten up the whole room and just be like, hey, it's really not that serious, but let's get our work in. Another point that I have here is always make the main goal the main goal. When I was a young coach, sometimes you'd be having a good session and it would be speed and rate of force development was the goal of the session, but then maybe you didn't feel like you were getting enough volume. So somewhere in there, you might have wanted to add some volume. So when preparing it, we tried to add volume somewhere, but I think the more you learn, the more you need to actually make whatever the main goal of the session is, or the block, or the microcycle, or whatever it may be. Like, let's make that the main goal and not stray off of that too far. I think kind of at the end of the day, to be successful, you've got to get lucky at some point. It's like I said, when I got my first full-time position, I was not even looking. I met the guy that called me for my interview. I had met him like once, maybe twice, on some random occasion. I didn't know that he was the head strength coach hiring at this university. I had no idea. But he gave me a call and he gauged my interest, and I feel like I got really lucky in that scenario. In a lot of scenarios, every scenario in strength and conditioning through my professional career, I've gotten extremely lucky.
Yeah, there's a lot of really, really good stuff there, man. A lot of really good stuff. I think the key is kind of just preparation is what helps you get lucky. If you prepare yourself enough, something's going to come up, and if you're ready for it, then that's your quote-unquote luckiness. Like, if you're just not doing anything and you're just staying very stagnant, not doing any continuing ed or talking to people, opportunities may come up, they may not, but if they do, you're not going to be ready for it. Where if at least you're preparing and you're working hard, something comes up, you're ready for it.
That would be my general how to obtain success. And I think specifically in professional baseball, I can use it in one word, and it's adaptability. I came into this realm of work, I guess you could say, professional baseball, from the college setting, which I compare a lot of things to, where I had 16 racks, 16 platforms, 16 workstations to deal with when I had baseball. And a lot of times I would train all 35 guys at one time. And now I compare it to what I've had the last two seasons. And I feel like the weight room that we have at our high A facility is actually really good, but there's only two racks. There's a couple of rowing implements, and there's a set of dumbbells and some step up and some rear foot elevated attachments and stuff like that. But when I compare it to what I had 3 years ago, I mean, it's very minuscule. So there's got to be some adaptability that goes on. And also, it's not just like when the guys get to the yard at 12 o'clock or whatever it is, and they have that time to work out. Sometimes the pitching coach will grab them, or the hitting coach will grab them, and they need to show them some stuff that's going on with their swing or their pitching mechanics or stuff. So, like, there's the ropes kind of pulling these players in all kind of different directions. So we need to, one, like I mentioned before, have a good relationship with them, know what's going on, and then also be able to adapt. I like to train the guys hard in season, and I think it's doable, but you got to be smart about it. They can't just go heavy, 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 and never have any kind of setback where we pull back on them a little bit.
Yeah, that's really, really good, man. And I keep saying it on here, I wish every strength coach could work in professional baseball, because especially in the college setting, you get very spoiled with what you have, and everything's set on a set time, and there's no distraction from, you know, coaches coming in or whatever. And then baseball, it's anything goes a lot of the time. And you go on the road with the team and you bring your trunk, and it's like, all right, I got a TRX, a couple dumbbells and some bands and a med ball. Like, what kind of workout can I get in? And I think if other coaches had that experience, it would open their eyes to how much and how valuable the strength coach in professional baseball does. Like, it's really underappreciated position, I think, at times, and people don't realize, even in our own field, like how much adaptability comes with being in professional baseball.
Yeah.
So do you have any advice for others in the field, maybe young coaches looking to get in, or even older coaches that have just been around who just want to stay on top of things?
Yeah, and I think I need to do a better job of taking my own advice when I say it's important wherever you live, or for with our job, we get to move around a little bit and go to different cities. It's important to contact strength coaches that may be in the area, whether it's teams that you're playing, that you're visiting, or that are visiting you, or in the example where I lived in Lynchburg for the last two seasons, And they have Liberty University is right there. That's like the collegiate Taj Mahal of weight rooms. I mean, I think it's big. Big. Leisure Arnold football field is beautiful. Then also when I come back here, I've got Louisiana Lafayette, which is right in the right in my backyard that I should be contacting strength coaches there because they're not the same ones as when I was in college. And just getting to know their philosophies, talking to them about different things that they may be utilizing for speed development in the weight room, readiness protocols that they're doing, rehab protocols, whatever it may be. You need to just expand your toolbox, so to speak, and learn what they're doing, and also just reading different materials. That's one thing that I'm really trying to do, and I'm actually currently doing right now during this off-season period, is taking advantage of just reading and obtaining a ton of knowledge, and hopefully with the thought that you could use it later on. So I'm reading. I'm going to try to read at least like 4 or 5 books this off-season that have been recommended to us, and also just some stuff that I'm interested in to hopefully just continue my own education personally.
Yeah, let's roll with that point, man. Where are you going for continuing at the books that you're going to read, or any podcasts you listen to, seminars that you might attend this offseason? Where are you going to get that knowledge this offseason you're talking about?
So I'm traveling, like I said. I'm going to go to our Dominican complex for their instructs over there that they're doing. I'm going to be there for about 14 days. So that's going to be one spot where I'd like to talk to the staff there. There's some of the staff members there I've never met, so I'd like to talk to the staff and also get their thoughts on things that may be going on or what they see from our really younger players, some of the guys that I've never met, and as they move up and what we can continue to do to help those guys out. But as far as books, the one book I'm really reading right now that I like, it was an ebook. It was sent to us. Our coordinator sent it to us. I really liked it. It kind of related to some of the things I tried to do this year when I was in Lynchburg with some of our players. And it's called Applied Principles of Optimal Power Development. So it's basically just talking about different ways, theoretical strategies that you could use to optimize their power development or their rate of force development. So that's the one I'm on right now. I don't have too much left on it. Then I'm going to move. I don't know if I'm going to move back to this one because I've read it already, but I'd like to reread it. It's pretty thick. It's called The Speed Encyclopedia. So it talks about different speed improvement drills, speed mechanic drills, and then actually some actual speed drills itself using implements, like maybe like a sled, plyometrics, stuff like that. Then it actually talks about stripping them all down and just learning how to run fast. So I want to read that one again. I read it like 3 years ago, and I don't think I retained all the information. I was just so focused on finishing it and being like, yeah, I finished the book. But I need to go back over and read it again. Then I want to reread The Principles of Triphasic Training. We used that. We kind of made our own model of it a couple of off seasons ago, and used it within our one of our strength camps. I didn't develop the program, but they did, and it worked really well. I mean, it's pretty taxing, and you have to be like very smart about the volume and the intensity there. But I'd like to go reread it and see if I could dig in a little bit more as to what they did. And I would like to find a book on diet and nutrition for myself as well as some of our players. Some of our players during the in season will have a lot of questions about what they should be eating, when they should be eating, which I think the timing of your nutrient intake is very important. So I want to find some books to read. I don't know any right now, so if you know any, please let me know. But a lot of our players just want to have a better idea of what and when to eat. And I just basically go off of what I know or personally what I've tried. And then the last book that I'm trying to read is one that I got a while back, but I haven't dug into. It's called Movement Over Maxes. I'm sure every strength coach in the world knows about it. The more I hear about it, the more I think it's a little bit deeper than just progressions and regressions of exercises. I think it goes much deeper than that. But like I said, I haven't even opened it up yet. So I need to do that. Those are the books.
Yeah, what about I was gonna say, what about podcasts, seminars, anything like that outside of reading that you're gonna do?
You know, I'm guilty on the podcast. I don't listen to many podcasts. I don't exactly know where to download them from. If you can give me an idea of where to get some things from, I'd love to start doing that, because I'm sure there's some great content out there. Some stuff that I could listen to on the drives. I make a lot of drives during the off season period. I would love to listen to some information on speed development, power output, and weight room stuff. And then as far as conferences, the biggest conference I've been to and the one that I've liked the most, it's not during the off season period, but it's the CSCCA conference that's held every May. It's like the first week in May. And pretty much every collegiate strength coach goes there, because it's the only time where, you know, classes aren't in session or they're taking finals or something. But we would all go, and it's at one location, obviously. And it's awesome. I really, really like it. There's like a ton of strength coaches there. You can network. You can see people that you used to work with. And then you also go to all the seminars that are going on during the day. And they're very informative. So, I really like that one. If I was to attend one, I won't get to attend the NSCA conference this year, because it's during we're gonna have some off season programs going on, and I won't be able to attend that. But that's one that I really, anyone that's not in professional baseball and has some time to go to it, the CSCCA conference. It's every May. It's like the first week in May. It's awesome.
Yeah, I have a few friends still in the college ranks, and they go to that every year, and they really, really enjoy it. They've spoken very highly of it.
Yeah, it's great.
So I'd like to do a lightning round with you. You got a little bit of time for me to get it done?
I got some time. Ready for the lightning round.
All right, cool. First one, biggest influence in the field of strength and conditioning, who is it?
Can I say two people?
Sure.
The first person, we've already named him. The guy that I walked into his office and he gave me the start, his name is Coach Rusty Witt. He's now with, I believe he's an assistant on the Army staff, the Army football staff. Perfect place for him, because he used to be in the Army. But anyway, he gave me a start in strength and conditioning, and he showed so much care for the players and for his job. He was so serious about his job. Like it was a very, very good first experience for me, and the players respected him. I mean, that was the most amount of respect I've seen anyone display towards one single person. And then the other guy would be Brett Huth. He was he was kind of the guy who let me intern with them at Louisiana Monroe. He's now the head strength coach at the University of the Incarnate Word in San Antonio, their football team. A lot of people haven't heard of that university, but they'll probably be hearing about him pretty soon. Last year was his first year on staff. That whole staff was brand new, and they actually won that conference championship. It's a smaller Division I school. We were in the same conference when I was at McNeese. We never played against each other, but we're in the same conference. And, you know, he sat me down many, many times and just told me about his philosophy, why he programs a certain way, what he does. He had to teach himself, because he's always been a football guy. And he had to teach himself, from what he tells me, how to build a baseball program. So it was a very eye-opening experience being in the same room with him every day.
I actually have a friend who did a little bit of work down there, so I actually do know the university, but it is one that not many people have heard. When you see him like playing in a college football game, people are like, what is that university?
right. They sort of chuckle, but I think they're going to be pretty good.
Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully, at least for the sake of your mentor, they'll be good. Yeah. So, second one, one piece of equipment to train with, what would you choose?
I think it's pretty easy. I would choose a barbell.
Right on.
Accompanying weights.
Of course, yeah.
I just think you could do anything you want. I mean, from a squat, you could do a back squat, a front squat, a bilateral squat. You can do single leg movements, posterior chain, horizontal hip thrusts. You can do presses, pulls, overhead, core. You can do single arm if you have a landmine attachment. I mean, you could do an entire session with a barbell on a platform or at a rack, and that's it. It might be boring. You might some people get bored, but I truly believe that the basic fundamentals improve the specific needs of a player in his development.
Yeah, I just set up a home gym here at our place in Phoenix, and I literally bought a barbell, plates, and a squat rack that has a pull-up bar on it and a landmine attachment on it. And my wife and I have been just going out lifting every day, and I just, like, if I get bored, I just go back out there and pick up the bar and do something else with it. Like you said, you can do literally anything with a barbell.
Anything. I don't know what other things have you heard that people have said besides the barbell?
A lot of baseball guys like the kettlebell just because you can travel with it. It's versatile. You can do a lot of similar stuff. So I think in baseball specifically, that one plays because you can put it in your trunk where you can't always bring a barbell on the road with you. You know what I mean? So that's been the other big answer, but most guys do say barbell.
Okay.
Biggest accomplishment professionally and or personally?
It's tough because I don't think I've accomplished a whole heck of a lot in the field. I do believe that every year has its own sets of challenges and subsequent accomplishments. But I think if I was to put one from being successful into this block, there was a time when I was at McNeese State University from 14 to 17, there was like a 2-year period there where I got extremely lucky. I got really lucky. I was working with some great athletes, some great sport coaches, and just some really good programs. And in that year and a half to 2 year block, we won, I think, 4 or 5 conference championships outright. And that was just really cool. It was a really exciting time to be at that university. And it's where I really got my start, and I was able to do a lot of things and be unbothered, so to speak. I made some mistakes, certainly, but I think I did some really good things as well. And there's the players there I still keep up with. We had quite a few players sign professional contracts in different sports. We actually have one that's going to be in the Olympics. I think it's in 2020 in Tokyo. She's gonna be playing on one of the softball teams in the Olympics. So congratulations to her and all the other athletes there that are still playing.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Sounds like it was a great experience for you.
It was awesome.
Last one, any career other than strength and conditioning, what would you choose?
Yeah, this is probably going to turn a couple heads, but I think I would be a nurse.
Really?
If I could be anything else. You know, my sister is a nurse, and I just feel like there's always a need anywhere in this country, or maybe even the world, there's always a need for nursing. So if you wanted to move to Denver, Colorado during the summer, and then you wanted to move to Fort Lauderdale or Miami, Florida during the winter to experience great weather, I think you could do it. I think nursing is set up where you could do those travel jobs where they're like 6 months at a time or something, and you could do that. I know it would be a lot of studying, but I think it's a very secure job, and it allows you a lot of freedom to move.
Yeah, that's, and like you said, there's always a need for nurses.
Always a need for them, but man, that's a tough. I used to joke on my sister all the time. She'd always be studying. I'm like, come on, nursing's not that hard, and she'd get really upset with me. Yeah, because I was in kinesiology, and she thought it was just working out, and it was so easy, and this and that.
Of course, of course. Hey, man, I appreciate you coming on and sharing your stories and your insight with me. If the listeners want to get in touch with you for more, where can we go? Is social media the best place, or is there a better place to go?
Man, yeah, social media would be great. You know, I don't post a whole lot of stuff in terms of like my work on there. I mean, sometimes I do, but I'm on Twitter and I'm on Instagram. It's just Eric_Ortego. Those are my handles or whatever you call them. And then also I've got a couple different email addresses. eortigo@indians.com would be one to reach me at. I check that one pretty frequently.
Cool. Well, like I said, appreciate you coming on, man. We'll be catching up real soon.
Yeah, hey, thank you for having me on. This is my first experience with a podcast interview, and I might have been a little nervous at first, and still maybe a little bit, but I feel like it was a good experience.
You did great, man. The listeners are going to love it.
Okay, well, I appreciate that, man.
All right, everybody, that concludes this episode with Eric. I hope you guys enjoyed this one. I thought he made a lot of really, really good points, and I would recommend especially going back into the section where we talked about finding success as a strength coach. And re-listening to some of the points that he made in that area. Three things that I took from Eric in this episode: be open-minded to learning from others, contact strength coaches in your area, and keep the main goal the main goal. With that being said, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll talk to you again on the next one.